specifically requirement number one given is, first you give an interest equalization clause. Now here I'll just give you a sideline angle. You know, interest rates for export and every other business people in India is the highest in the world. Businessmen have got to pay anywhere between 10% to 14% interest for any business capital, business funds required from different banks. Whereas you look at the advanced developed foreign countries, there you have got an interest rate of around 4%. Depending on the country, of course, 4 to 6%. In some cases, it's also 2%. World Bank, 2%. Now, this creates a very big anomaly and it creates an escalation in the costing as far as the entire project is concerned. And therefore, the PEPC says that because this is a capital intensive projects, therefore the exporters should get interest equalization to effectively compete with the contractors from US, Europe, China. And this interest equalization clause has been considered by the government also. This is a much needed support necessary for enhancing our project exports from India. Why? Because the multiplier effect of project exports will provide rich returns of the funds employed for the purposes. More and more funds could be employed over here, wherein the banks are also protected through this equalization scheme. Next comes the diplomatic support. Now, most of the projects which you see, infrastructure projects, are always politically motivated or government initiated. And given the economic and strategic value attached to the entire projects, coupled with the entire fact that major execution of projects export is done on foreign soil, yes, the respective governments of contractors from major competing nations, they provide a robust diplomatic support at various stages, not only on negotiation table basis, but even when you go to execute it, you need people to go there. You need a diplomatic support to get visas for your various people to go freely in and out within that country. And therefore, the government has to establish a mechanism to lend necessary support to Indian companies in the sector, which is highly desirable. This is what the policy intervention clause PEPC has given to the government, and government has accepted and taken action. When we go for any type of exports, whether project exports or normal export, pandemic has affected all countries in the world. COVID-19 has been a real factor where there have been a lot of disturbances, but it has also given a boost in certain sectors, but affected quite a lot of companies. Maybe countries are going into recession. Now, developing countries, it has mostly affected developing countries. Developing countries have a stretched public budget and room for public expenditure is narrowing down with increasing focus on healthcare. The government is removing funds from the other infrastructure projects to healthcare situations. And therefore, there is a reduction in such type of project exports experienced over the last few years. Again, lockdown, travel restrictions, they have further aggravated the entire situation globally everywhere. Restriction in movement of people, restrictions in moving of products and services because of these lockdown conditions. Merchandise export, that means normal export, also has witnessed a slowdown during this past decade on various accounts. And therefore, project export presents a vital conduit for expansion in exports. When your other aspects are going down, you have got a conduit where you can increase your exports. Why? Because even if governments are going for healthcare, then you need to help the government to go after the healthcare project exports. Infrastructure for the healthcare is also required. So you move into that direction. Of course, project exporters are receiving demands from across the globe. Our Indian exporters are getting such demands. But due to the travel restrictions, many of the potential opportunities are taking time to fructify. Because when you go to negotiate with the government, then they are busy with the healthcare programs of the country or lockdown, sitting at home, nobody is able to freely move. You are not able to inspect the project sites, etc., etc. So naturally, discussions, finalization is being delayed quite a lot. Now, the most crucial factor in any project export is the finance involved. It is a totally different type of concept involved as far as financing the project is concerned. Why? Because project finance is a long-term financing of industrial and infrastructure projects based upon the projected cash flow, that is returns, based on the returns, projected returns of the resultant project, rather than the balance sheet of the sponsors or the owners. No, the finance is not dependent on the past performance of the owner's balance sheets, but long-term financing requirements are being looked into. A project financing structure involves a number of equity investors known as sponsors, or a group of a syndicate of banks or other lending institutions that provide loans to the operation. It is not a one-man show. It is not a one-banking show. A group of financiers who are known as sponsors to the project, that group sits down to understand what and how and when the finances involved and how they will be financing. And at the same time, they will also ensure how they would get back a return on the finances, including earnings, profitability on the financing. Of course, the financing in such products is typically secured by all the assets of the project, including the revenue-producing contracts. Of course, as you know, any project, any infrastructure project or any business, ultimately it starts developing revenue. Revenue generation occurs once the project starts working. And the financing sponsors, they will look to the aspect of how they would be getting their payment. They secure all the assets, all the machinery that goes over there, all the buildings that are built over there, they are all assets. And the assets are secured by the finances. Now, for organizing this entire structure, a special purpose entity or special purpose vehicle is created for each project, separate for each project. That entity does not have assets of its own. No assets at all. They are only project managers who will, first of all, conceptualize, design, create a group of people to work as far as the project is concerned, and that group of persons will include the sponsors or the financiers to the project. The owner will not finance. Project finance is often very complicated than alternative financing methods. It's a totally different cup of tea for the project handlers. It has been most commonly used in the telecommunications, mining, transportation, power industry, as well as sports and entertainment venues. These are places where such large turnkey projects have got scope. Of course, a project may be subject to a number of technical, environmental, economic, and political risks. You have got to the sponsors or the executing team will have to start understanding the technicality, understanding the environmental factors involved and getting environmental clearance. Economic aspect means including financing and how to get a return on the finance. And above all, there is always a political risk that over a given period of time, there may be a change in the government, and that change in the government may affect the contractors. These factors have all to be taken into consideration. Several long-term contracts, such as construction, supply, offtake, and concessional agreements, along with a variety of joint ownership structures, are used to align incentives and deter opportunist behavior by any party involved in the project. A lot of strictures, a lot of yes and no's involved. Different set of agreements involved. And of course, the pattern of implementation are sometimes referred to as project delivery methods. These are the crucial aspects, because ultimately what matters is delivering the project to the owner so that he turns the key, starts operation, and that is where funds are delivered to those who have invested. It is a very risky method, yes. Or more expensive project may require limited recourse financing secured by a surety from sponsors. Of course, all such turnkey projects are having a risk factor, but certain projects are more riskier, and thereby the sponsors who are financing them have got to understand the risk involved, the expenses involved, and how they would cover their risk. A complex project finance structure may incorporate corporate finance, securitization, insurance provisions, or many other type of collateral enhancement to mitigate the unallocated risk factor. these would all be covered into different types of agreements specifying how those factors would be covered. And yes, the structure has evolved and forms the basis for energy and other projects throughout the world. Once a structure has been set up, methodology has been set up, it becomes applicable to virtually all other countries also. And yes, for many projects, such setup is already planned, executed, and available for being applied to future projects. Of course, it's a very big study. You may have to do a lot of study as far as these aspects are concerned. When you look to the parties to project finance, I have given you a list of the parties as far as project finance is concerned. It starts with sponsor. Typically, it may also be an equity investor. That means investor taking part ownership of the project. He becomes an equity investor. Then there are lenders. Maybe some may be senior lenders, some may be mezzanine lenders, in-between lenders. Bankers also, there are senior bankers and junior bankers, depending on the type and quantum of funds that they can generate and support the project. Then there are off-takers. Off-takers means those who will take benefit from the project and pay for that project. That becomes an earning for the project owner. From that earning, the project owner will pay to the sponsors and lenders. There are contractors and equipment suppliers. There are operators, different kinds of operators. Financial advisors, technical advisors, legal advisors, equity investors. And of course, each country will have a regulatory agency involved to see that this project is being carried on as per the requirement, as per the regulatory requirement of that particular country. Then there are multilateral agencies involved or export credit agencies involved. There are insurance providers. And then there are hedge funds providers. Hedge fund means funds which should be available immediately to be paid at a later date by the respective sponsors. So these are hedge funds, concrete funds to be made available by the hedge fund providers. Let us look at the development of the project. How does a project develop? What stages? The project development is the process of preparing a new project for commercial operations. Always aspect would be commercial operations. And they are divided into three stages, three distinct phases. One, pre-bid stage, that is preparing of tender documents, is pre-bid stage. Preparing of international competitive bidding documents, that is pre-bidding stage. Then contract negotiation stage. Contract negotiation would be first stage between the owner and the contractor, maybe one main contractor or maybe multiple levels of contractors, also the finances. And then the money raising stage. Once the project is finalized, the money raising stage. These are the three distinct phases through which the project develops. Then a finance model is constructed by the sponsors, not the owners. The sponsors as a tool to conduct negotiations. Very hard bargaining, very hard negotiations between the sponsors and the respective one side owners, another side the contractors or the suppliers. especially investors, are more serious in this discussion. And ultimately, a project appraisal report is finally prepared. Properly designed, the financial model is capable of sensitivity analysis, risk analysis, that is calculating new outputs based on a range of data variations. There's a lot of data created, so variations have also to be studied for creating via in between requirements and also recoveries of finance. There are different types of contracts as far as such projects are concerned. You cannot have one single method. Different methods are involved, prepared by different classes of the owners as per their requirement. But the most common turnkey project or export project or finance construction contract is the engineering, procurement and construction contract. It's a combination of a contract known as EPC contract. This contract generally provides for obligation of the contractor to build and deliver the project facilities on a fixed price, turnkey basis, that is, at a certain predetermined fixed price. Delivered, entire project to be delivered at a certain date and in accordance with certain specifications and certain performance warranties are required also to be executed over here. Turnkey is based on the idea that when the owner takes responsibility of the entire facility, yes, contractor says your facility is ready, he hands it over to the owner. When the owner takes over the responsibility, the entire facility, all that he has got to do is he turns the key, opens the door, and the facility will function as needed by the owner. That is for required work to be done and generating the income from that particular project, from that particular business house. The EPC contract has got certain basic contents, and that contents in the contract are always a predetermined set of terms. One, description of the project. Two, price. Payment, of course, typically by milestone, that this portion completion, this portion payment, method payment. So there are milestones for the respective payment. There is a completion date clause. There is a completion guarantee and liquidated damages clause. What if you don't complete the project in time? So there is a liquidated damage. Completion guarantee. These are required to be executed by the project contractor and given to the owners. Only when the owner is sure, yes, I will get a completed project in my hand, I will get to start my business at a particular date, then there will have to be a performance guarantee. If there is an output capacity required, so that would be the performance of the project. At that point of time, the contractor has got to ensure that all the parameters which have been built into the project is performing properly. And such type of guarantee is given to the owner by the contractors. And then there are liquidated damages, but there is always a cap as far as liquidated damages are concerned, and these are spelt out in the conditions of the EPC contract, all these aspects have to be legally, verifiably spelt out in each aspect of the contract. The next type of contract is O&M, Operation and Maintenance Contract. This is an agreement between the project company and the operator. Maybe the owner may not operate himself. He may give it to somebody else to operate the business. So he enters into O&M contract. Project company will delegate the operation, maintenance, and all other performance management of the project to a reputable operator and who has got sufficient expertise in the industry under terms of the O&M agreement. And again, the terms of O&M agreement are also listed out in a proper format, starting from definition of the services required to be performed by the operator, responsibility of the operator, provisions regarding the services rendered by the operator. Again, operator has also to give liquidated damages. And then ultimately, operator will say, I need my fees also. So the fee provisions has also got to be incorporated into the contract. This entire contract is listed out in the O&M contract for operators. Mainly, there is a concession deed which is prepared as far as all projects are concerned. This concession deed is an agreement between the project company and a public sector entity. This agreement concedes the use of a government asset to the project company over a specified period of time. Now, let us take an example of, you know, the metro construction going on. So, metro is an infrastructure project. There are certain aspects of land requirements are concerned. And here, the lands is a government asset. So, there has got to be a concession agreement that the government will allow the land to be given to the contractor for execution of the entire project, and the project would be viable over a period of time. So that for that particular period of time, the government will give a concession to the project. So that type of a concession deed has got to be executed by the government agencies. And this will be found in most projects which involve government, especially all infrastructure projects. Of course, the concession agreement has got to be signed by a national or regional government, like maybe a central government or the state government, or a municipal corporation, or a different special purpose entity which is set up by the state to grant the concession. For example, all the in Mumbai or whatever metro projects are being handled, they are all being handled by a special purpose vehicle known as MMRDA, Mumbai Metropolitan Regional Development Authority. So that's a special purpose vehicle created by the state government for all types of infrastructure projects. Let us understand some of the examples. A toll road. You know, highways are being built and at all places you find a toll naka. So toll road or tunnel for which the concessional agreement giving a right to collect tolls or fares from the public, or where payments are made by the contracting authority based on the usage by the public. So ultimately, at the time of usage, certain amount income is generated. So for that, a concessional deed is prepared. Transportation system, for example, railways and metro, for which the public pays a fares to a private company. Mumbai Metro 1, private company, and the fares are being collected by the private company. Utility projects are where payments are made by a municipality or the end users. Sewage treatment plants, they are utility of the municipality concerned, and the payments are normally made by the municipality. Ports, airports, whenever you go to the airport, airport fees levied from all the passengers. It is collected by the private party who is operating that particular airport. And many other such sector, public sector projects like schools, hospitals, government buildings, where all types of payments are made by the contracting authority. So there is always a contracting authority as far as the concession deeds are concerned. Next, we get into a shareholders agreement. As I told you that there is a group of sponsors who would be financing the project. So they get into a shareholder agreement. It is an agreement between these project sponsors to form a special purpose company or special purpose vehicle in relation to the project development. This is the most basic of structures held by the sponsors in any project finance transaction between the sponsors, and deals with the following stages, step by step. First, injection of share capital, voting requirements. Yes, shareholders always need voting requirements. Resolution of force one, dividend policy, management of the special purpose vehicle, disposal and preemption rights, final ultimate disposal of the asset. It's all like a public limited company operations available, and a shareholders agreement is created for that particular project. Thank you.